Hi, I'm Roderick Chambers, and this is the 2019 Federal Budget Special for Community Radio, focusing on the key areas affecting our communities. There's $80 billion in health. It's one of the biggest budget items on the budget agenda. What are some of the key parts that we've got in here?
Yeah, well, I'm going to sound like a bit of a broken record after David, in the sense that there have been a lot of big numbers thrown around in terms of health. I mean, if Josh Frydenberg is talking about guaranteeing essential services, one of the big ticket items is health. And between him and Greg Hunt, it's kind of made my head spin a little bit in terms of just trying to catch up where all this money is going.
Mm.
I guess one of the tricky things is in that health budget, I mean, they're throwing around huge announcements, but we're going to have to work through what is actually a genuinely new commitment as opposed to them reaffirming commitments to announcements they've already made. So perhaps the biggest slice of our healthcare budget is Medicare, and that's expected to be $25.5 billion next year. Now, this is going to be a key issue, and this is where the government wants to sell its credentials in terms of shoring up Medicare, because Bill Shorten has indicated that this is definitely grounds to have an election battle. And they've made, again, lots of announcements, and we've just had to kind of work our way through unpicking what exactly is new and what is perhaps just reiterating things we already knew about.
Yeah, well, I think Josh Frydenberg mentioned something in the speech about more people being on Medicare than ever before as a kind of a, you know, this is what we've done type of thing.
I mean, I would kind of expect that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, in terms of what I've been able to find in there, and I'm just going to a caveat here, my head is still spinning. So the analysis is really going to wash out tomorrow. But some of the things that I can see, which are new, is a lot going into frontline services. So, for example, we are seeing $309 million going towards more diagnostic imaging. So MRI scans and x-rays. And this is really good because early diagnosis is generally considered a good spend on health.
So will we see more equipment in hospitals?
Yeah, we're going to see some and more licenses handed out for those who can actually do the scanning as well. So it's not just more equipment, but it's also more I guess, locations where people can get these scans. We're also seeing $448.5 million over 3 years for a new chronic disease funding model. And from what I can see, this is primarily aimed at our individuals over 70. And this is where they can work with their GPs to help them manage chronic and complex care needs. And buried in the detail there, it seems to indicate that they'll actually be supporting more referrals when you don't necessarily have to have a face-to-face consultation. And that's a really good news because this is something that GPs have been crying out before, that previously Medicare rebates are only available on face-to-face consultations. So being able to start trialling doing this using more remote or telehealth technologies, this could actually lead to...
It'll speed up the process.
Well, yeah, and also it just makes health actually accessible, you know,
for people who aren't near a teaching hospital,
exactly,
you know, not living next door to Royal North Shore or something.
Yeah, and look, speaking of GPs, and this is again trying to kind of shore up against the Medicare threat from Bill Shorten, we have seen the reintroduction of the indexation of the remaining GP services to the tune of $187 million. So back to, we heard one of the people from the streets talking about the concern going to the out-of-pocket cost of going to a GP. And we have in recent years seen a widening gap between how much is paid through the Medicare and how much you're actually having to pay out of pocket. And one of the reasons is there's been a freeze on some of those rebates. And so we can see here that they're now letting indexation happen. So it's not as if they're piling in huge amounts of cash, but at least that'll address the widening gap we see.
The gap,
yeah.
It's always the gap that gets you, isn't it?
It is always that gap, yeah.
So the government's got a lot of programs also that they were talking about, and one of them is improving access to medicines. But when I was looking at the pictures, the PBS figures weren't going up that much.
Yeah, so if we look over the long term, what's really interesting is the PBS is actually not growing, it's shrinking. So, I mean, not by a lot, but over the next 5 years, the amount that's going through the PBS will actually be a little bit less. So currently it's about $11.9 billion, and it'll get closer towards $10 billion.
Oh.
Yeah. That being said, though, I mean, there is some of the headline announcements is that there are, you know, a lot more medicines there that that are on the PBS, where people through, like, for example, some sorts of cancers, where people would normally have to pay, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and now because it's subsidised, it's only $40 per person.
Look, is there anything else? We might actually just need to move on. There is a lot there for mental health too, isn't there?
Yeah, I just want to mention in mental health, because, I mean, the government has put mental health on the agenda, which is fantastic, because we know that one in five people in experience mental illness in any given year. I guess the thing I want to signal, there is a lot there in mental health, but one of the things I picked up in there, a lot of the funding is not coming in for a couple of years. So, for example, the government is sending $263.3 million to Headspace, and this is aimed at reducing the wait times for young people and also providing for additional Headspace services. But more than half of that, so 60% of that funding, isn't going to start flowing until at least 2022. So those young people are going to be waiting to get the, you know, that injection of funds.
Now, quickly, can we just get through? I'm sorry, we're a bit pressed for time here, but seniors and aged care, what are the key headline things there?
Yeah, so the Treasurer said that a stronger economy allows us to look after the older Australians, and we can see that they are continuing their more choices for a longer life package. And they have touted that they're putting more money into residential aged care places and some more home care places. The problem is that even according to their own targets, They're not meeting the targets required for home care, particularly people waiting for level 3 or level 4 packages, even according to their own targets. And those waiting lists are huge.
Yeah.
I mean, the latest estimate, there's 128,000 people waiting for home care packages, some of them for more than 12 months.
And that's keeping people out of nursing homes and things, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's keeping people out of the system, which is costing a lot of money.